What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone is having a blessed day thus far. We're about to bless your day even thus further. Hello, Jax. How are you, Dern?
I am Dern good. Thank you so much. It's a gorgeous Tuesday. So joyful. Can't wait to rejoice with you in the glory that is Tuesday.
Glory be the God. Amen, sister.
How was your Monday?
It was Monday. It wasn't terrible. You know, it was a nice ease into the week. We're back Tuesday. Now we're in it. Rise, grind, hustle, you know?
You know, I had a nice Monday myself. I finished my book, which was very good. I would say, though, that the first half was much better than the second half. The second half was a little rushed and, like, the inventory things, they just weren't landing for me. But it's a true story, so it's, like, it seemed unbelievable. If it wasn't a true story, I'd be like, this could never happen. But because it's a true story, I'm like, tell me more.
Ma'am, are we going to talk?
About?
Your sweatshirt?
About my sweatshirt. Yeah, thank you for reminding me because you know I would have forgotten. No, I come on the show every day.
We spoke about it 4 seconds before we started recording.
Right, which is why it was out of my mind. I always come on the show with like a couple things that I want to say. Do I ever remember to say them? No. But this is so important.
You should write them down.
I should. I really should. I need more like pens and paper around my house to just write down.
Gotta start jotting things down.
Errant thoughts. But today's announcement is that Redheads merch is dropping new merch. I've been teasing it for a while, but I really wanted to get everything so gorgeous and right for you guys because the Redheads is like an ironclad brand and there's just no room for error, period.
Zero.
So today I'm wearing one of our new sweatshirts from the collection. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm just going to move to the left. If you're listening as a podcast, check out our Instagram because we will have posted a photo in the sweatshirt.
It's really cute. You know, the Redheads are kind of evolving.
The Redheads are evolving. So we will be dropping like 4 sweatshirts, 1 long sleeve, a hat, tote bag, as always, phone case, mugs. You can see the whole collection on our Instagram account. I will post all of the images of things that we're dropping. And the Redheads are constantly evolving. And I thank you for bringing that up because not only do we always evolve, and with every book that we read, we are expanding our minds, but we're also always growing. I know I joke around about how the Redheads are taking over the world, but it's like kind of not a joke.
When do you think you'll get to the place where like your emblem is on the cover of a book? If I ever reprint my book, which I don't know why I would. You know what? When I did the paperback.
You should have done it.
I should have because I got the New York Times emblem, which is really why I did the paperback. I should have done the Redheads one. Like, what's wrong with me?
I think that, to be honest, it won't happen because I'm pretty sure that like Reese's Book Club, Oprah, Jenna's Book Club, they get advanced copies of books and they choose what book they're going to have for a specific month before the book is released. So then when the book is released, they can put on the cover that it's a Jenna's Book Club. It's a Today Show. You know, it's a Reese. And the Redheads, we're just lay people who are just recommending books that we think would be good. And so we'll never be on the ground floor like that. I mean, I guess we could be if we got like, but that's not the spirit of the Redheads because nobody reads the books before we choose them.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would happen, but you guys know my goal for the Redheads, like where I would be like, okay, we made it, is to have a Redheads table of books at like Barnes and Noble or a local bookshop. Bookstore. I mean, I could show up with a table myself and kind of put it together.
I feel like we definitely have a toaster who is like a manager at a Barnes and Noble, a local indie bookstore. And if you do that, like, we'll promote the hell out of your store. So
the hell.
The hell. So I feel like it's a win-win for everyone.
Agreed. Reach out to me if you have the power to set up a table in your local bookstore.
It's so funny how we have like such niche goals. Like when, not even for books, but like when I was releasing my book, like I really wanted to be sold in airports. And that was a goal that I achieved. And like a lot of people, obviously I wanted to be a New York Times bestseller, all that thing. But we have like such random niche goals when it comes to our career.
Yeah, no. And but it's also just things that you associate with making it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's,
and I
think it's almost different. Like we're not like other career women.
Of course, but I think it's different for everyone because, you know, we all grew up differently and you would see things as a sign of success. And to me, like going to a bookstore and seeing a table that's like Reese's Book Club, which they have, I'm like, why not Redheads?
Why now? Why now? Why this sperm?
So Redheads merch and pertinent information is dropping Thursday. We're Thursday girls over at the Redheads. So this Thursday, Redheads merch is dropping at shopmorningtoast.com. Check out at the Redheads on Instagram for all the details. And the great thing about the Redheads is like if you are a Redhead, you can rep the brand. Love it. But if you're like not even a Redhead, you could still like rep it. And people are like, what's that? And you're like, it's my book club. And they're like, smart tings.
No, but then if you happen to have red hair, it just also adds another element, you know?
Yeah, it's multifaceted.
Love that for you. Love to see, you know, literate women thriving and being fashionable. That's really all you want to see from women, literacy and fashion.
And the Redheads achieves both. Speaking of Redheads, you are still reading Lessons in Chemistry. I know you're struggling a little bit.
Yeah, it's a fine book. It's really not an amazing book. Like, I just want to be totally honest. I'm about 70%. Like, I could have finished it last night, but I'm like, I'm not even having a good time. It's, you know me, I read a book in a day. So it's taken me like 6 different reading sessions to finish it. It's fine. It's a good book. It's like, whatever.
But are you not obsessed with 6:30 and Mad?
I was. Not really. I was.
Like them together?
The character development of the main character, Elizabeth, is so horrendous. I want to smack her upside the fucking head. Like, you have this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Somebody literally came to you, gave you a TV show at a prime slot. You literally, like, have never worked in TV in your life, and you're going to be an ungrateful wench. That's what you're going to be. And I get it. It's for women's empowerment. I get it. But it's like, stop. Stop. Follow the rules. And I know in the end it works out because she did it her way. I get it. But watching her like destroy everything in her path just to like do it her way, it's kind of, you know, annoying the fuck out of me.
Damn, we needed you on the Redheads episode because we were all agreeing.
No, like I get it. Women are more than housewives. No, this is set in the 50s. I believe in the message.
I agree with you that like there needs to be some compromise. Like just because things should be done a certain way doesn't mean that they're going to, and it can't be my way or the highway or else we're never getting anywhere.
Yeah, I did just get to the part in the book where her and Mrs. Frask lay down their arms because they share a mutual trauma. And I loved that so much. Like justice for Mrs. Frask. Like no wonder she was like a miserable wench. Like she's been treated like shit.
Yeah, that was Dana's takeaway. Frask was her favorite.
Frask was a queen. And then Frask getting fired for being 27 pounds overweight, like relatable. So there are elements of the book that I do enjoy, but overall, like as a read, I'm not finding it like to be a super easy read.
It's not
and
a super.
And we get it.
It's not
you
a super
work
easy
in
read.
Science. I cannot deal with the pages and pages of scientific references. Like this, did I pick up a textbook?
Okay.
Like on the cooking show, how she can't just say salt. She has to say NaCl, yeah. You know? Stop. 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 She's annoying the fuck out of me.
She's not your kind of girl.
She's like quirky, you know?
Yeah. And she's, you know what she is? She's scrupled to a fault at times.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. We have a fab show.
Yes.
Not a ton of TV recap, which is great. So we're just going to be able to focus on the stories, focus on ourselves, which is so important when you have a podcast to focus on yourself.
Oh, beyond, especially when it's every day and you guys need to know about everything that I was doing. And speaking
of what?
I made it to the gym yesterday. I'm feeling hashtag proud.
Good for you. Proud. You know, there's a trend going around on TikTok that I wanted to get your take on. It's like people are sharing the moments in media and pop culture that like shifted who they were as a person. And I was curious if you had any moments like that.
Definitely.
For me, obviously one that comes to mind is Ariana Grande performing at the Wicked 15-year anniversary. Like that performance like really truly shifted who I was as a woman.
Yeah. I feel like for me, I need to back it up a little further. Because I feel like when I'm younger, that's when, you know, you're more impressionable and these things have a way of shifting you. Mm-hmm. The shifting Streisands.
Mm-hmm. Or like a moment in a TV show.
I need to think about it because I don't want to. I can think of big moments from our childhood that were like, oh my God. And like the whole world was talking about a certain thing, like Miley Cyrus on the cover of Vanity Fair. But for
that's
me,
that's a good one.
I don't know that shifted things for me.
For me, it made me realize, my God, people will complain about anything.
Yeah.
Another one of those moments.
All of my moments really have to do with Miley Cyrus.
Okay, so another one of my moments is Desperate Housewives. Like when Tom leaves Lynette, like, who the fuck do you think you are? You fucking wench.
Yeah.
After all she's done for you and your dumbass opening the pizzeria. Like, that was a moment. And I was like, wow, men are really, like, they have the audacity. Like, they have the audacity.
Yeah.
She gave up her career for you, even though she was more successful than you. So she could be a housewife and you could continue to work. You then put the family's livelihood at stake by opening that dumbass pizzeria, the Scavos. And then you leave her, you fucking wench.
Yeah, you really related to Lynette.
Even more so, I didn't relate to her, no, but you loved her. Like, sympathized with her.
Yeah.
Even more so when I rewatched the show as a grown woman, because, you know, being in a relationship and being married, like, you know, marriage is all about compromise. Yes. And you really saw, as like a grown woman, how much nerve Tom Scavo had. Yeah. Just because he was better looking of the two.
Interesting take. I rewatched Desperate Housewives almost like 8 years ago now. So not as like a wife.
Fresh.
And definitely, and not as a mom. I feel like my time might be coming. The only thing is that now I don't have the time.
Make the time. There's actually so many moments from Desperate Housewives that like were major life altering moments for me. When Carlos became blind, that was huge.
Mm-hmm. Or like when Orson had to be kicked out of the house because like he had in, you know, a few years ago run over Mike. And it's like, but Orson and Brie.
Right. No, there's so much. That show is so good. Like, I feel sympathy and sadness for anyone who's never seen it.
Yeah. No, I feel actually really excited for you guys because it's all ahead of you.
It's all happening, in the words of Sheena Marie Shea.
Yeah. That's a good trend on TikTok. I need to think about it further to think about like what really resonated with me.
Sound off in the comments, like, what was a moment in pop culture and media that really like changed who you were as a young woman or man?
Another moment was Caitlyn Jenner's special Diane Sawyer.
Oh, that actually like changed my perspective on life.
I think that was the first time so many people.
Yeah. And not even, of course, about like trans, but also like now when I'm like talking to people about like gender, which I don't really do all that often, but like if I do, like I'm always saying how, you know, gender and sexuality are so different. And I only learned that from the Caitlyn Jenner special. Like when Caitlyn said that, I was like, oh my God, yeah, duh, like the two have nothing to do with one. Like it really, that was a cultural shift.
That was a cultural shift. And yes, it was very educational in terms of like the transgender experience, I think, for so many people. But something else that I really took away from it is to mind the way we speak about people who we don't know, because you know what's going on. Could be anything. And the way that people were talking about Caitlyn before that special, like it just didn't get any nastier than what was being said. And we were all a part of it.
100%. We are all guilty and compliant. That was a horrible time.
So that's was a big eye-opening moment for me.
Yeah, no, that's a good one too. I'm curious to hear what people are going to say, because people sharing, a lot of people have like moments from TV shows that I don't watch, like Fleabag. But it's been really interesting to see like what stays with people.
I think for a lot of people, Marissa Cooper dying was like how they learned about death.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That's a good one too. So yeah, just like a fun thing the kids are doing on the talk. Thought I would alert you to.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping me up with the kids.
That's really my job here at The Toast, to kind of be like the Gen Z correspondent, because, you know, I kind of teeter between being Gen Z and millennial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're also gearing up for our Toast a Ween episode next week. We're going to be together. I just finally booked my flights to come see you. I'm going to join you at the end of this week. And then all of next week, we'll be together for episodes. And of course, we're going to end the week with Toast a Ween.
What day is Toast a Ween? Like, what day is Halloween? I think
Halloween. Oh, actually, Halloween is on Monday.
Oh, so
will we do it Monday? Monday. That's like so weird.
Yeah, no, we're doing it Monday. That is weird. Because usually we like leave it all at the end of the week. And then we
Friday
can come back Monday. It's November and we're fresh.
No, but starting off the week with a Toast a Ween episode is going to be kind of bizarre, no?
It will be, but we're not, like, it's the 31st.
We adhere to the lunar calendar.
We do.
And that's just a little bit about us. So stay tuned for that. Some people have been guessing. I have not seen anyone guess what we're going to be, which is, I love to shock and awe.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anyone guess it right.
I'm truly excited.
I don't think so.
And yeah, that's really all it for me. It was an uneventful day. Not much to update the girlies on. Slept like a beast. Oh, sorry. So I'm sleeping. Heavenly slumber. All of a sudden, I hear. Now, in case you couldn't tell, that was glass shattering.
Couldn't tell.
Glass shattered on the white cloth. I'm like, what the fuck? So right before bed, Ben is like, I want to go get some water. And I had just filled, I have like a reusable water bottle that I use because I've been trying to drink a lot of water. It's always on my nightstand.
And Juliana,
it's
always filled with, I drink a lot of water.
It's always filled with ice and Brita. Like, it's really premium. So Ben's like, I'm going to go get some water. I'm like, no, wait, I just filled mine up. Here, take my thing. He's like, no. I'm like, just take it. You don't have to get up. Take my water. He's like, no, I really like those cups you got in Rome. Like, I want to just, like, use the cup. I'm like, okay. Cut to 4 a.m. Ben's, like, being a beast in his sleep. And he knocks the cup off the table and shatters my fucking brand new glass.
From Rome.
I went to Rome. I bought 8 water glasses that are so cute. I literally got them home. I was carrying these glasses. It was like such a thing. I've kept them all intact since I went to Rome in October. Ben, boom, breaks one in the middle of the night. So then there's glass all over the floor. He has to vacuum because Theo, and it's literally, I'm so fucking pissed in my sleep. I didn't even get up, but I was like, I guess I was yelling at Ben in my sleep about how I literally trekked through all of Europe with these glasses just for him to come home and break it and be a beast. So then I woke up like normal time a few hours later and I had a text from Ben. He had found the glasses on Wolf and Badger. You ever get to see that website?
Yeah, really
on Facebook?
Cute stuff.
Really cute stuff. He had found them. He bought me a new set of 8, which was so nice because he only broke one. But I guess like in his sleep, he had felt really bad because I literally begged him right before bed not to use the glass. Like, just use my fucking water bottle, bitch. So I have 8 new glasses on their way.
Well, you come out on top.
I do.
Per it's usual. Like,
it's just like why? Like, just use the water bottle.
Of course.
Just use a water bottle. He had to be all special
glass,
and fancy.
Fancy Nancy.
Fancy Nancy over here.
Yeah.
And it disturbed my sleep, which like
unforgivable sin.
Just as much as the cup.
And I'm sure Theo was distressed as hell.
We all woke up kind of like in a tizzy. Like, we were frazzled.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. It was really disrespectful.
He'll have to apologize for that.
Yeah, he'll have to. He did, by the way. And like, he felt really bad, which just made me even more annoyed because I wanted to be angry.
Right.
You can't be angry at someone who's like deeply apologetic. And he woke up, he was like, I should have just taken the water bottle. I'm like, yes. Like, he knew exactly. I'm like, but I still wanted to be
so
angry.
So now you need to like hold on to this memory for the next time he tries to defy you and be like, remember what happened last time?
Yes.
That's called being petty.
Yeah, that's called being petty. That's also, I feel like, what you would do with Harry, like to teach someone a lesson.
Yeah, perhaps.
Speaking of eggplant Rolladini, how is my son?
He's great. He misses his auntie, but he's been great. He left us with a little present today, a little spit up on my new
spit up.
On my new merch, mommy's new merch, no big deal.
Let's talk about baby spit up, because the way it smells so unbelievably vile. I mean, of course, it's throw up, so that makes sense. But the older he gets, the more disgusting it gets. Because in the beginning, it was just like a little breast milk,
I'm
you know?
I'm finding the opposite. Like, no. He spit up on me today, but he had oatmeal for breakfast. And it actually smelled like cute baby tings. It didn't smell vile today.
Maybe it's because you're like his mom, but like, it is literally atrocious. Like, it could make me gag the smell.
Oh my God, you are so dramatic.
I'm not dramatic at all.
Okay.
I'm not. Like, it's so smelly.
Okay. I'll tell him you said that.
Please do.
Tell him that that was
the thing about me and World. We have a really honest relationship with one another. He says, Enti, you look fat in those jeans. I say, Roldini, your breath stinks.
His breath has never smelled a day in his life.
No, not his breath. Actually, that's the thing about like not having teeth is your breath smells incredible.
Yeah.
Got to knock out all my teeth. So sick of having bad breath.
Yeah.
I like have bad breath. I think I have a cavity.
I need to go to the dentist too.
One thing about me is like, I'm not going to the dentist, you know?
Yeah, I have to go. I don't have strong teeth, so it's imperative that I do go, but I think you're fine.
And you know what? Like, remember when we were kids and like everyone got to the phase in their life where they were getting braces and it was like the worst thing to happen to your social life. Like, it was literally crippling to be just like metal mouth Mabel. Mm-hmm. And now so many people I know like in their adulthood who had braces are doing Invisalign. And just like Invisalign is so common. Mm-hmm. Like, kids these days like don't even need to get metal braces. Like, they're getting Invisalign. Like, that's not fair.
Well, Invisalign is so expensive. And honestly, for a kid, you're getting braces.
Is it not covered by insurance?
No.
Are braces? I guess it's cosmetic.
And braces, I think are, we never had them. I don't know the cost, but I think they're so much less expensive than Invisalign.
Yeah, no, but I feel like we'll get to a place where like Invisalign becomes the norm.
Perhaps, but I think right now if a kid needs braces, like, you're getting braces. Deal with it.
Yeah. No, that's that's one part of like I always wish to be younger for sure. But like that whole braces thing, like that was a traumatizing part of youth for a lot of people.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking about recently? Because I feel like so many people, especially like influencers and celebrities, like have veneers.
And I feel like, okay, I was thinking about that too.
Because our teeth are not veneers, like,
we think we have bad teeth.
No, not that I think I have bad teeth, but it's like, I just like don't look like a grown person because I have like my little chiclet teeth.
By the way, I completely agree.
But like, then like grown women have veneers. And I guess I'm like, I'm not grown until I have veneers.
No, I was literally I was just thinking about this because I saw a TikTok and this guy was like, do not get veneers. He was like bleeding out of his mouth. And all the comments were like about how celebrity and influencer culture is like totally normalized getting veneers cosmetically for no reason. Whereas like you used to get a veneer or a set of veneers if your teeth got knocked out. Like, it was a medical thing. And now it's just like a total vanity thing. How like, yes, you are not like beautiful until you have veneers. And it's fucked.
Yeah, it's so... I never thought about it before. And I always would have thought that like you get veneers if your natural teeth aren't great. But now
or,
I'm
like,
just like,
you need like you chip a tooth or something.
Right. But now I'm like, am I just never going to be on that level if I don't have veneers?
I just want to say
I'm not getting
I don't really feel bad for you because in terms of adult teeth, your teeth are like, I could look at you and be like, wait, does she have veneers? Like, you have like not your bottom teeth, no offense, but your top but your top teeth are like grown adult teeth. I have two buck front teeth. Then the ones next to it are tiny little chiclets. And then the ones next to those are vampire Bella things. Swan things. Like, I have like real teeth. Whereas like you have like beautiful teeth, your top teeth.
Thank you. Yes, I'm not getting veneers. I never even thought about it. But I just was like noticing all of the influencers and celebrities have veneers. And I'm like, maybe I'll like, it just looks so much more mature.
No, and the crazy thing about veneers is like how common they've become when they're literally 30 grand and so painful
and like,
to get
so
installed.
Do they take out your...
You have no teeth underneath. You have like little nubs.
They pull out
they
all
They have to
teeth.
Shave it down to put the cap on. No, it's like a crazy thing to do.
No, thank you.
And one thing about me, like, I embrace plastic surgery, cosmetic enhancements, but I draw the line at teeth.
Unnecessarily.
Of course. Like, I'm not talking about when Sheena tripped on the sidewalk, sued the city, and was able to get a whole new set of teeth.
Yeah. It's just interesting.
No, I'm so glad you brought that up because people were just talking about it on TikTok. I'm like, you're right. It's so weird.
Yeah. And I just feel like at every, like, people eventually always get veneers. I feel like how many like older people do you see with their teeth that grew in when they were 8?
No one. But that's going to be me. I'm not getting veneers. I'll watch this episode in 2 years with my big new teeth and be like, oh, I was so naive. No, I really, Like, yeah, every single person on reality TV has veneers.
Yeah, and I just feel like now, like, it's kind of how with when everyone gets, like, lip injections, but I have, these are my, like, natural lips, but now it's, like, I'm kind of part of the small-lipped community because everybody's lips are
No, but you're not.
That's how, like, the scale is changing.
Yes, 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 yes. But that's why, like, when Sonia Morgan, oh, my tooth fell out. Like, it's not her real tooth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Veneers fall out all the time.
So interesting.
So interessant. So that's your dental news of the day.
Yeah, and while we could speak about teeth all morning, we have work to do. So without further
ado. But you know what? Wait. You know what I have? I've got beef between my teeth. It would be lost without my floss. That's like the, that is a cultural shift in media. Like that episode of Sweet Life of Zack and Cody where that kid performed the song and that kid happened to be Justin from Ugly Betty. And he did that little dance. I've got beef because he was pretending to be a piece of floss. It was so good.
Also, we went to the moon in 1969. Cultural shift. Did anybody know when we went to the moon before that?
No. No, because I had thought that it was 1970, but it was the year sooner.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now you know. So now, without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and...
take a bite out of your toast. Today's episode is brought to you by Fashion Pass. Thank you, Fashion Pass, for sponsoring today's episode. We know so many toasters already know and love Fashion Pass because it is the steeniest clothing rental service where you get unlimited rentals for one flat price. Their clothes are everything of the sort, and in my opinion, would separate them from other clothing rental services where you're going to get tunics that your grandmother would wear. No, they're renting things that are actually current. They are hot right now. You can find some of their pieces on Revolve currently being sold. You're saving so much money because you're not buying out new clothes every time you have an event, a baby shower, a wedding. No, it's just like, rent it, girl, rent it. And it's so much more sustainable, better for the environment and better for your wallet. The brands that they carry are premium. They have For Love and Lemons, Free People, Show Me Your Moo. You guys know we're obsessed with Show Me Your Moo. Amanda Uprichard. If you hate spending $200 on an outfit that you're going to wear on vacation or to brunch, take a picture in, and never wear again, check out the Trendsetter plan. That's what Jackie and I are on. We get to pick 3 clothing items and 2 accessories for every order, and then we could switch out our items as many times a month as we want. The shipping is super fast. They take care of dry cleaning and everything for you, so you send it back. You don't have to wash it, and then you know when you're getting something, it has been dry cleaned for you. They give you a bag to ship it in, so that when you're done, it's just super easy, and then you can choose new items. One of our favorite parts is that if you love something so much that you actually want to buy it, you can do that. You can buy something directly from Fashion Pass and you're going to get a huge discount, somewhere between 30 and 60% off. It's a super better option than traditional shopping and it's more sustainable. If you're not into renting but you just want to purchase something, you can actually buy anything on their site now, even if you're not a member. They offer free shipping and returns. It's super easy and you could purchase brand new items or like new items for huge discounts up to 70% off, which is amazing. We have a special discount code for you today. If you go to fashionpass.com, use code TOAST at checkout, you'll get $40 off your first month so you can try it for literally $39. It's unlimited rentals for just $39 with code TOAST. I feel like people, when they start Fashion Pass, like they're extremely grateful to us because like if you don't know about it, it'll change your life because yeah. Clothing rental is so genius, but a lot of these rental sites just have like fugly clothing, like it's so ugly.
And it's not for like everyday wear, you know.
It's not for like, honestly, the toasters who are like extremely stylish.
Yeah, it's for special occasions mostly, but like I struggle most with everyday wear, getting dressed yes. every single day.
I mean, how many times have I worn this cardigan?
Also, I think the best way to shop is to rent something from somewhere, see if you wear it, how you wore it, if you liked it, and then keep it if it's meant for you.
Totally. So thank you, Fashion Pass, for sponsoring today's episode. We also are sponsored by Framebridge, the custom framing company that will change your opinion of what true customization really is. They measure and handcraft each frame specifically for your piece, so you can Framebridge just about anything. Selfies, game day jerseys, your anniversary dinner menu, or your latest artistic masterpiece. Go to framebridge.com and upload your photo. If you have a physical piece to frame, they'll send you a complimentary packaging that you can safely mail it into. I feel like the most genius part of Framebridge is like literally from your phone. I take so many premium pictures on my phone. I feel like the only pictures I use to frame are like wedding photos or photographer photos. Why? Like I have so many gorgeous photos of myself, of my family, of Roldini that I take on my phone, and being able to upload directly from your phone, throw a little Jackie O flow on it. It's so premium. It's so easy and it's genius and it's so affordable. Like framing is so crazy expensive. Like for what?
Right.
For wood.
I feel like sometimes I look at art and I'm like, or frame photographs and I'm like, mm-hmm. I could have taken that picture. And then sometimes I take a picture and I'm like, am I Graham Allen? So I was actually just on Framebridge and looking through my phone because I am going to frame a photo that I've taken. I'm not sure which one yet, but I need some more art decor around my house. And I feel like I've had so many pictures that I've taken. And I'm like, National Geographic.
Who? No, literally. Where? So how it works is you'll upload your photo. You can preview your item in dozens of their frame styles and you can choose your favorite or get help from a designer for free. The experts at Framebridge custom frame your item, deliver your finished piece right to your door. And instead of paying hundreds at a framing store, Framebridge starts at just $39 and free shipping. You can order online or stop by a Framebridge store near you to work with a designer in person. So they've been popping up all over the country. Check to see if there's a Framebridge store near you. If not, you can go online. They're both super easy. We've both done it. You have a gorgeous photo of yourself framed in your closet, right? That you took like on your phone.
Yes, Zach took it. So it's really like of both of us. It's showing his creative eye and my gorgeous
stunning
beauty.
Face. Frame your photos. Send someone the perfect gift at framebridge.com. That's framebridge.com.
Thank you, McClurdia.
You're welcome for all the links and all the codes that'll save.
Gotta add a shoulder to it.
You better.
Okay, our first story is kind of fucking wild. James Corden is Hollywood's latest tantrum maker. So yesterday... Yesterday, Keith McNally, NYC, posted on Instagram. He is the owner of Balthazar and Pastis and Mirandi and Minetta Tavern. He's a restaurateur in New York City.
And those are all, like, if you don't live in New York, those are all, like, celeb hotspots. Like, I believe him when he's saying Minetta Tavern. Like, these are all premium. Like, good luck getting a table at any of these restaurants.
Yes. So he posted a grainy photo of James Corden taken
from... He really dragged him to filth with that photo.
It looks like he took it on his phone of Google Images. You know when people do that?
Oh, my God.
And
totally.
Out of nowhere, he said, James Corden is a hugely gifted comedian, but a tiny cretin of a man. And the
Not
most,
the word cretin.
And the most abusive customer to my Balthazar server since the restaurant opened 25 years ago. I don't often 86 a customer to today I 86 Corden. It did not make me laugh. Here are two examples of the funny man's treatment on my staff. Manager report number one. In June, James Corden was here on table 61. Although this is diabolical, it happens very occasionally in all restaurants. After eating his main course, Corden showed the hair to Balthazar manager G, who was very apologetic. Corden was extremely nasty to G and said, quote, get us another round of drinks this second and also take care of all of our drinks this far. This way, I write any nasty reviews in Yelp or anything like that.
Okay, so obviously, you know, getting a hair in your food is not ideal, but like humans are creating your food and sometimes that happens and it's gross. But the restaurant, especially a fancy place like Balthazar, like they'll always make it right. They'll comp your meal. Like
Right. They'll
make it right if you point it out. So obviously it's unfortunate and it's on the restaurant, but that's what happens. We're not robots making your meal. Like people have hair.
Right. Manager report number two. James Corden was at Balthazar with his wife on October 9th for brunch. He asked for a table outside. Brunch maitre d' Ali Walters took the party to table 301. Mr. Corden's wife ordered an egg yolk omelet with Gruyere cheese and salad. A few minutes after they received the food, James called their server, MK, and told her there was a little bit of egg white mixed with the egg yolk. MK informed the floor manager, G. The kitchen remade the dish, but unfortunately sent it with home fries instead of salad. That's when James Corden began yelling like crazy to the server, quote, you can't do your job, you can't do your job. Maybe I should go into the kitchen and cook the omelet myself. MK was very apologetic and brought G over to the table. He returned the dish, and after that, everything was fine. He gave them promo champagne glasses to smooth things out. G said that Corden was pleasant to him but nasty to the server. MK was very shaken but professional that she is, continued to finish her shift.
Okay, so like, James Corden is like a monster. I feel like that's not the most surprising
thing. I think that that is surprising. James Corden is like...
I can see it. I can see it.
No, I'm really, really surprised. He seems like... First of all, his brand is being, you know, that nice, funny guy. He's everybody's friend in Hollywood. And...
So was Ellen.
But that's why that was shocking. Unless you had heard the whispers before.
Yeah.
It's shocking because her brand was being like the nice, funny woman.
She ended every show like, don't forget to be kind.
Right. But she forgot.
Don't you forget to be kind,
bitch. She forgot. So
she totally escaped her mom.
I never heard anything like this about James Corden. No whisper. So this has caught me unawares. And it's very surprising because it's very off brand for what he purports to be. But then the manager also, or the owner also posted this, that another grainy photo of James Corden taken on his phone from Google Images. James Corden just called me and apologized profusely. Having fucked up myself more than most people, I strongly believe in second chances. So if James Corden lets me host his Late Late Show for 9 months, I'll immediately rescind his ban from Balthazar. No, of course not. But anyone magnanimous enough to apologize to a deadbeat layabout like me and my staff doesn't deserve to be banned from anywhere, especially Balthazar. So come back to the five and dime, Jimmy Corden. All is forgiven.
I feel like James Corden will never set foot in this restaurant ever again. It was nice of him to apologize. I mean, he literally had no choice. People were dragging him to filth. And like, I feel like this might be like the beginning of the peeling back the layers of James Corden.
Well, I think now if other people have experiences like this, they will come forward. Before I say the next thing, I just want to say, I think people who are nasty to waitstaff are the nastiest people.
Most
especially
disgusting.
There was a bit of egg white in your yolk. Like,
that's not a real complaint.
You're welcome. It's healthier for you. Yeah, welcome.
Right. No,
who
I
sends that
agree.
Like, that's psychotic behavior. And okay, a hair in your food, like, yes, you definitely send that back, but there is a nicer way to do it. No one put it there intentionally. Calm the fuck down.
Agreed. People who have disrespect for like servers are scum of the earth.
Yes. With that said, this restaurant owner just like posting a picture of James Corden to his Instagram with like all of this information, I find to be extremely bizarre. Like, one, if he's like Licatou Dumois, like a normal person.
Yeah.
And two, like, I feel like other celebrities might be like, well, I don't know that I want to go. Not because I'm a bad person or anything, but this guy's just like putting people on blast, you know?
Like, yeah, but I feel like this is not a pattern with this man. Like, if he was doing it a lot, I'd be like, okay, that's weird. But you know what? Like, I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tea. The tea is
no, but
hot.
It's also like, you know
and
what?
And we're going to be called out for bad behavior.
Celebrities should live in fear that if they're going to be rude to waitstaff, like, they're going to get dragged. Because I'm sorry, you have to be a human being.
That's true.
You know what? Like, if this instills the fear in God to the Ellens of the world, you know what? I'm fucking here for it. I am.
That's a good point.
It doesn't bother me. Normally, like, this call-out culture where, like, you know, the thing that always comes to mind is, like, the Instacart driver who said, like, Kylie's baby was screaming in the next room. Like, that shit I don't like because, one, it feels like an invasion of privacy. And, two, it's like, I don't know if I believe you. Like, what's the proof that you really even drive Instacart? But this guy, like, I believe him. I know he owns these restaurants. He's looking out for his staff. And you know what? I'm here for it.
Okay.
I am. Because you know what? Like, there are a lot of celebrities who are, like, really, really rude to the people who work for them. But, you know, like, those people have a choice. You know, like, they can... you don't have to work for Mariah Carey. I mean, not saying Mariah Carey's evil. But, you know, like, you go to work as a server, you're just doing your job, trying to wait on people, and you have to wait on some asshole. Like, you know what? I'm here for this whole story.
Okay. I don't disagree with you. And I do, I like your point that they should live in fear and they should be extra nice to make sure
they
don't end up being like this. But.
Right. Remember when Kendall Jenner left Mercer Kitchen without tipping or without paying the bill?
I remember there was a Mercer Kitchen incident. I don't remember the specifics.
And I'm sure that it was an accident, a misunderstanding. Her friend was like, I got it. And then they, like, I don't think she skips out on bills. And the way that she was dragged till the next century online, she'll never do it again.
Yeah.
It teaches celebs. Everyone's watching at all times. If you're going to go out in public, you can't act like an ass.
Yeah. And that's good.
A proper arse.
It's good to promote people not acting like an ass.
Agreed, especially in restaurants, because I feel like waitstaff are some of the most underappreciated and disrespected people in this country.
Yeah.
So, like, when I'm at a restaurant and I hear, I feel like I've told this story before. I will never forget. Like, I see people being rude all the time. Nail salons,
oh my God,
too.
When my butt clenches. I'm like,
yes.
Make it stop. Shut up.
Okay. So I was at 40 Carats. I remember this story from high school because I happened to like have not like well, really well, but I knew the girl who I was looking at.
Were
like,
you sitting with her
friend.
Or you saw her from
afar?
No,
okay, no, no. Okay. She was a few tables away. Like, I didn't know her enough to say hi, but like I knew her name. You know, in high school, like you used to just like know people's names that you didn't actually know.
Yeah, of course. Facebook.
Facebook, right. Okay. And so we were at 40 Carats, and like at 40 Carats, they don't write things down, but they always get it right. It's like a thing there. It's crazy. They never write down your order. Everyone customizes a salad, swap out this, add this, but they always get it right. So this girl was a few tables down from me and her salad arrived and I guess it was incorrect. And so she summons the waiter and she like goes with her hands like this. She goes, generally, I do not like it when waiters don't write things down. This salad is incorrect. She shoves it in his face. Please return it. It was so rude. Like we were both like 16 at the time. And I was like, damn, she has fucking balls, bitch. Like, I would never talk to anyone like that. Like at six, I would never talk to anyone like that period, but like at 16, like, oh my God, I never forgot it. I literally will quote it once a week. Generally, I don't like when people don't write things down.
Oh my God, you have to tell me who it was offline.
I would love to. I don't know if you know her.
Oh my God, that's
like, I so barely knew her. She crazy. Was just friends with one of my friends.
Also, like my salad has to be like a hamburger in order for me to send it back.
Right, of course. Of course you say no croutons. The croutons are there, but you just eat it. You pick them out. Like, it's not a big deal.
Good. I was hoping they would be there.
Right. No, like for me, I'll never in my life send things back. I will literally move things around, go home and order McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Like my husband will send things back. He'll be like, you know, this fish doesn't taste right. And like, I get it because, you know, you're paying for a fish and if the fish is rotten, like you shouldn't eat it. But like, I can't.
And if I ever do, like my voice is so small and I'm like.
No, and this is what I say. I always, whenever I'm like about to complain at a restaurant, I'm like, I realize I'm the most annoying human being on the planet, but like this salad was supposed to not have dressing and it has dressing. So can I just get a new one?
Yeah. Please? Oh, I guess if it was dressed and I wanted it not dressed, I would.
For me, I think salad dressing is the most disgusting thing on the planet. I would like that. If it's anywhere near my salad, I can't eat it.
Yeah. That's a salad ruiner.
And that's for the salad I eat once a year. So it's not really a frequent problem that I have.
Right. But no, also I just feel like in general, like say like something's like a little amiss about your order, whatever it is, for the most part, everyone should just get a little more comfortable. Like it doesn't have to be perfection.
Unless it's like something major, like I agree. Like I didn't want lettuce on my burger. Take it off. Take it off. Right. If you like most, 9 times out of 10, what's wrong with your order? You could pick it out with your fingers. Like no, for real.
Yes, I totally agree.
Unless it's really mixed in there, chopped, sauteed and fried, like you're fine.
Yeah. Or like it tastes good this way too. You like it.
Yeah, no, it's meant that way.
You'll eat it and you'll like it.
And you'll like it, totally.
Anyways, I'm very curious to hear if like more people now have stories about Mr. Gordon.
Because you're not rude just once. It's a pattern.
Yeah. So, but that was surprising.
That was.
Speaking of people speaking out, Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde's ex-nanny is telling all. She gave an exclusive to the Daily Mail and told how smitten Olivia Wilde broke up with devastated Jason Sudeikis just weeks after she began filming Don't Worry, Darling with Harry Styles in Palm Springs. So for the
Before we dive into this story, I want to say, like, I will be drinking up all the tea that was spilled and dissecting every minute of it, but I think someone working in your home with your children, then doing an anonymous interview is so abhorrent and disgusting and such an invasion of privacy. I don't know if she had an NDA, if she didn't have an NDA, but you let someone into your home with your children and they exploit that. Like, I think that is so horrible and disgusting and just scummy.
Horrible, disgusting. And I also just, you know, before I even go to like what she said, I want to let you know that Jason and Olivia already put out a statement together.
This might be the thing to bring them back together because like they were united against one another, but now someone who was in their home with their children is attacking them. It doesn't even matter what they're saying. Like they are now a united front. They're back to being a family.
Yeah. So they said together as parents, it is incredibly upsetting to learn that a former nanny of our two young children would choose to make such false and scurrilous accusations about us publicly. Her now 18-month-long campaign of harassing us as well as loved ones, close friends, and colleagues has reached its unfortunate apex. We will continue to focus on raising and protecting our children with the sincere hope that she will now choose to leave our family alone. So this woman obviously has an axe to grind. I personally, like, hope they sue her because she definitely signed an NDA and this violates every term of that. But here's what she said. For the first time, she revealed the full inside story of the breakdown of Olivia Wilde's relationship with Jason Sudeikis and her affair with Harry Styles. She said that while Olivia Wilde has always claimed that her and Jason split up at the start of 2020, they actually split 10 months later, weeks after she began filming with Harry Styles. The nanny said she was caught in the middle of the warring pair and said that Jason Sudeikis later uncovered the full details of Olivia's relationship with Harry by reading messages on an Apple Watch Olivia had left behind. During one blow-up on November 15th, Jason allegedly lashed out and chased after Olivia after she had prepared a salad for Harry Styles in their kitchen. Jason went outside and lay under her car so she wouldn't leave, the nanny said. A series of devastating texts from Olivia and Jason to their nanny reveals how the actor was crying to her about Olivia leaving.
Not the salad.
Yeah.
This is so messy. I mean, Olivia has stated and really dug her ground for months, that this was not an extramarital affair. She started dating Harry after Jason and all was kosher. I think a lot of people were skeptical of that. And the people who were skeptical of that now have even more reason to be skeptical because the nanny said they were still together during 2022. It wasn't January. It was more like October. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I don't know. Like, this feels like a little too much information for me.
Of course.
People are entitled to having breakdowns in their kitchens and fighting with their husbands in their driveways. Like, I don't know. I feel like as much as I really wanted to like slurp up this tea, it just really feels like none of our fucking business.
Right. And then also you do have to question the source. And
right.
Olivia and Jason said like she's been acting in an unprofessional manner for months now and like kind of harassing them. So I'm not even sure if everything that she said was true. Even if it is true, it's not my business to know. So I'm not really like ingesting it. I feel like when people do stuff in public, it's up for all of us to pick apart.
Yeah.
But what you do in the privacy of your own home, this is like a confidentiality. It's like spying. And
people deserve privacy.
It's like when you get evidence in an illegal way.
Illegally.
What's that called?
I don't know, but like the evidence is thrown out because if it was secured in an illegal manner, it's like you throw it out. It's like a...
Hold on. Illegal evidence.
I think it's with a C. It's like so Law and Order. Like,
I know. It's so Law and Order.
It's not circumstantial.
We've had this conversation once before. And then like afterwards, I remembered what it was. And now I'm forgotten again.
Shit. Whatever. The evidence gets thrown out because it's neither here nor there because it was secured in an illegal manner. So I agree. Like, I bet they're, you know, Elizabeth, Olivia and Jacob. Oh, my God. I'm not okay.
Elizabeth and Jacob.
Olivia and Jason are, like, probably quaking that this woman who's clearly unhinged was, like, so close to their children for so long.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, a pit beyond pit.
Pit beyond pit.
So... I don't know. I don't like this. I really don't.
And it doesn't really change how I feel about the situation.
No. If anything, it makes me sympathetic towards Olivia and Jason.
Right. And what the biggest bombshell would be like that she did cheat on Jason with Harry, that they did start their affair while they were right. together.
Well, people already think that, so.
Doesn't change anything for me.
No, I agree.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story that's brought to you by Hiya?
Yeah.
Typical children's vitamins are basically candy in disguise. They are filled with teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, other gummy junk that growing kids should never eat. And that's why Hiya was created. It is a pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin. While most children's gummies are filled with 5 grams of sugar and can contribute to a variety of health issues, Hiya is made with zero sugar, zero gummy junk, but it tastes great and is perfect for picky eaters like myself. Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste that they love. It's formulated with the help of nutritional experts. Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits, vegetables, and it's supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. Hiya's Products are non-GMO, they are vegan, they are dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and pretty much everything else you can imagine, because all your kids have different needs, and Hiya is looking out for the campers, which we really appreciate it, because it is a camper-tested, mother-approved brand.
Yes, I just got Hiya gummies, and I think it's such a great idea for a brand, obviously, but what's so cute about them, and I got them, I'm giving them to Kaylor, because they come with, like, stickers and stuff that you decorate the bottle with, but, like, so Kaylor cute. Decorated it herself, and she was so excited about it. It makes the kids, like, excited to take their gummies.
100%. Because, you know, kids these days.
You got to make shit exciting. Everything.
You got to make shit exciting. Because it's designed for kids of all ages. It is sent straight to your door. So your parents have one less thing to worry about. Again, the decorating is kind of the kids' favorite parts. So it's a great, oh, play with this for 10 minutes while mommy goes and takes a shower and has a glass of wine. Like, it's nice. They're taking care of everyone. We have worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You can get 50% off your order. If you claim the deal, you have to go to HiyaHealth.com/toast. Deal is not available on their regular website, so you have to go to HiyaHealth.com/toast. Again, that's HiyaHealth.com/toast, HiyaHealth.com/toast. Get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy, beautiful, stunning, and smart adults.
Great. Okay, our next story. Meghan Markle is talking about her time on Deal or No Deal on her new podcast.
Finally.
New episode dropped with Paris Hilton, and she is talking about her time as the Deal or No Deal briefcase girl.
Quick question. Has she not released an episode since the last time we talked about it, or were the other episodes like irrelevant?
I think that she did release an episode. I think... I believe that she did, that she has. So she quit her job in 2006 as a briefcase girl on Deal or No Deal because she felt she was being, quote, reduced to a bimbo. She said, I ended up quitting the show. I was so much more than what was being objectified on the stage. I didn't like feeling forced to be all looks and little substance. And that's how it felt for me at the time, being reduced to this specific archetype, the word bimbo.
Oh, my God. She is like... having to use the word archetype.
It's like right? Shoehorning it into every episode. But I think that's the point of the show. It's each right. episode is what word are we deconstructing? And this one is bimbo.
Got it. Okay, I mean, by the way, to be objectified like that sucks. But that's kind of like, you know, becoming a lawyer and being like, you know, there's too many trials for me. Like, that's the job.
Right. Right. She said, I was grateful for the job, but not about how it made me feel, which was not smart. By the way, I was surrounded by smart women, but that wasn't the focus.
No, for sure. And I'm glad she's talking about it because, like, it's kind of like
iconic.
For me, another cultural shift moment was when everybody put together that Meghan Markle, who had just gotten engaged to Harry, had been on Deal or No Deal. Like, for me, like, that whole arc, like, you can, that's literally, like, the American dream. Yeah. Like, you can do and become anything you want. It doesn't matter where you came from. So I personally, like, I'm obsessed with this arc. To hear that she didn't have a pleasant time, like, that sucks. But it's also, like, what did you expect? Like, that is literally the job you signed up for. Like, you don't talk as a briefcase girl. You literally stand there in a tiny dress.
Yeah, and hold a briefcase.
Right.
So I'm glad that she's, feel like this is the first time since she's been
royal that she's acknowledged
I think so. I'm trying to think back. Yes. I can't remember another time.
No, that's why it's so crazy.
Yeah. So, and you know what? Like, that's that's what a podcast is for.
I respect, she could have, you know, kept pretending like it didn't exist. Next, I need her to talk about giving Roadhead to Ethan in 90210.
Next, I need her to talk about the Hallmark experience.
Was she in a Hallmark movie?
Yeah.
Which one?
Sparks Fly. It was a very lovely July 4th centered.
Oh, not Christmas. Okay,
no, it was not Christmas. But I do think that there were others. And in it, her romantic lead of Sparks Fly was Betty Cooper's father from Riverdale, also known as the Black Hood.
Yeah, Hal Cooper. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's weird. That's very weird.
It's a good movie, though. Check it out.
I am so grateful that she's talking about this.
I mean, we never watched, but everyone's obsessed with Suits.
Yes, I know. I never watched, so I don't know anything. That's why I didn't mention it. But yes, people
are obsessed. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention it.
Of course. Even though to me, like, cultural impact of Deal or No Deal is just as big as that of Suits.
Agreed.
So I'm grateful that she is talking about it, because, like, honestly, it's something I've long wondered and thought about, and, like, what her opinion on it is. It's not high. We know that now. And cool.
Yeah.
She didn't give us, like, a lot to work with, but.
No. And her show is, like, kind of scripted. So it's like.
It's well thought out.
No, it's like interview, and then she talks, like, now, but I'm pretty sure it's, like, written out before. So
yeah. No, it's like it's edited. It has, like, an interview style, and then, like, they cut to, like, a narration, a musing, Megan's musings.
But it's not like, oh shit, did I just say that? Fuck it.
Yeah, no, it's not conversational. It's very produced.
Yes. Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the fourth or the fifth?
The fourth.
I am ready.
Erica Jayne says she was joking about PK and Dorit Kemsley being the next to break up. So we reported yesterday that at BravoCon, Erica was asked who she thought the next couple to break up would be. After a long pause, she said Dorit and PK. Then PK posted.
PK dragged her to fucking filth on Instagram.
Oh, yes, he did. He said, Erica Jayne thought her husband was innocent. She thought the ankle is more important than the brain. She thought she could keep the earrings. Now she thinks Dorit and I are next to split up. Here's a quick bit of management advice. Stop thinking.
Yikes. You know what's so interesting to me is, like, at the beginning of the season of Beverly Hills, Garcelle's main gripe was, like, there is a core group in this group, and, like, no one else can really make genuine friendships because the five of you are so, like, tight. And now it's between Lisa and Kyle being dunzo and Erica and Dorit. Like, that group of Lisa, Kyle, Erica, Dorit, and I think Teddy Mellencamp was in that too. They're, like, fizzled. Like, they're done.
Yeah. Also, Erica then said, when did you get so sensitive? You know damn well I was joking. But this actually reminded me of something, and it's going to sound, like, kind of crazy, but throughout this season, I was, like, kind of getting, I don't know what sort of vibe, I can't explain it, between, like, Erica and PK. Like, they were such bitter enemies, Dorit and PK's first season. Like, and Erica, like, eviscerated him, like, on the reunion. He was just, like, meant to be, like, this, like, pervy weird guy. And mm-hmm. now Erica and PK had, like, a really good friendship. Like, you always see them, like, chatting when there's a party. Mm-hmm. I think they, like, Erica likes,
like each other.
Yeah, I think they like each other. Even when PK was like to Maurizio, like, aside from your wife, like, who looks the best tonight? Remember when he asked him that?
Yeah, of course.
And he asked it, like, waiting to give his answer of Erica.
Right, he had someone in his brain.
Right, and yeah. Maurizio's like, Rinna?
Yeah. No, totally.
I just feel like they're like, really, sometimes, like, are so friendly.
What are you trying to say?
And they just have, like, this love-hate relationship, and now they're on the hate side. But you don't really beef with your friend's husband like that.
I also don't know why Erica said it. Like, so first of all, I didn't get the vibe at all that she was kidding. Yeah.
She didn't laugh.
So I hate when people say that. Like, if you're going to say something, stand by mm-hmm. it. So I don't know why she said it. And then I don't know why she said she was kidding. And it was, like, how could they not be upset by that?
Of
like,
course.
Don't be all surprised that they're mad.
No, if that's your friend and then your friend says that, like, say about someone you're not friends with. Like,
right, because Dorit is, like, very Switzerland, almost to the point where she's, like, boring this season. So she doesn't come for anyone. If anything, she was being, like, really sympathetic to Erica and Aspen. So I don't really know why Erica would come for her when Dorit has really been nothing but neutral and really nice to Erica this season.
Yeah. Just
like, they moved into Diana's hotel together.
Right, right.
So, like, come on.
It's weird.
It's weird for sure. And it's, like, it's aggressive for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know.
But who else would she have said? She was asked which of the ladies from Beverly Hills, right?
I don't know what the question was, but she would have stuck to Beverly Hills because she doesn't know the other franchise's marriage.
I mean, it's hard to say because Sutton and Garcelle don't have husbands. Nobody knows Rick Hilton.
Kyle.
She would never say Rinna.
No, and she wouldn't say Kyle and Mauricio.
And you can't say Kyle and Mauricio because their marriage is an institution.
Yeah.
So she could have, like, she was really only left with Dorit.
Not answered. She, like, walked down the runway and
yeah,
was, like,
she made
a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These Watch Rappins live specials have started to air. The first night I sent you that clip, they had Candace Dillard-Bissett, Kenya Moore, Sheena Marie Shea, and Melissa Gorga each perform, like, a medley of their own songs. And I was, like, living for every moment of it. I thought Kenya's was a mess. I thought Sheena's was so cute. Like, she did actually a really good job.
She did.
Candace Dillard took it incredibly seriously, which was, like, a little bit weird, but still pretty good. And then Melissa Gorga lip-sang for her life, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, it was Couldn't look away.
No, I mean, these Watch Happens Live specials, they've done them before, and I don't know why they have so much trouble with the audio. Like, Andy's running around handing his microphone to everyone. Like, mic people up.
Yeah. No, they did them dirty with the music.
It's like chaos.
But I think, like, by Sheena's turn, she realized, you know what, just don't sing over the track because you can't sing, you can't hear it. Kenya was the first, and she didn't know.
She got screwed. The first through the wall is the bloodiest.
She didn't know.
She didn't know.
Yeah. But they all were good sports about it.
Yeah, I actually really enjoy those Watch What Happens Live specials where they do, like, the kids ones. Like, I like that.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. You know what? I started watching a new show on Netflix called The Empress.
What's
historical.
That? Is it, like, royal vibes?
It's royal vibes. It's about Cece. She's the Empress of Austria, and she's come up a lot in my readings. I was actually just reading about Hedy Lamarr, and she plays Cece in an Austrian, like, Broadway production of Cece. And I was like, you know what? I've seen this woman a few times. I'm going to read a book about her next. And then I realized that this new show on Netflix is about her. So I've started watching it. It's really quite gorgeous and stunning. I'm only two episodes in, but I look forward to learning her story.
Stunning.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Only if it's the fifth and final story that's sponsored by Nutrafol.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So, I don't know if you guys knew this, but 30 million women are impacted by weakened or thinning hair. If you're among them, just know you're not alone, and there is a solution that you can trust to deliver results. Millions of Americans experience thinning hair. It is more than common. It's actually considered normal, and it can feel really lonely and frustrating. But it's time to change the conversation. Join the thousands of women who are standing up for their strands with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement that is clinically shown to improve your hair growth. It can improve thickness. It can show visible scalp coverage. It supports healthy hair from within. It targets the five root causes of thinning, which are stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, and metabolism, through whole body health. So Nutrafol has three unique formulas to support women throughout all stages of life, including postpartum and menopause. Each formula is physician formulated using natural, drug-free, medical-grade ingredients in consistently effective dosages so that you get the most reliable results. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months. Over 3,000 top doctors and stylists recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair. So Nutrafol has become one of these brands that you can really trust. Their ingredients are premium. It is developed by the best in the world, and there's proven results. Whatever reason you might be having hair loss, I know you experience a lot of hair loss postpartum. Whatever the reason is, some people get it in menopause. Some people just get it in stages in their life when they're really stressed out. Nutrafol is going to target that reason, whether it's stress, whether it's environment, whether it's postpartum hormones. And they are going to target that and eradicate your hair loss. And millions of women are using Nutrafol. It's a fabulous brand. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support the show by going to Nutrafol.com. Enter promo code TOAST to save $15 off your first month subscription. It's the best offer that they have anywhere, and it is only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. They also offer free shipping on every order and the $15 off at Nutrafol.com. It's spelled Nutrafol.com. That promo code is TOAST for $15 off plus the free shipping on every order. Nutrafol, Nutrafol.com. Promo code TOAST.
Great. Our fifth and final story, a little more Bravo news. Monique Samuels and her husband, Chris Samuels, have taken to their YouTube channel to address the rumors, and they have announced that they are trying to fix their marriage, but they deny divorce rumors.
So you were 100% right, by the way. Like, I thought you were being crazy, being like, no, they, like, it literally feels like they put this story out to promote their YouTube channel.
It worked because Monique admitted that her marriage, because if there was no divorce rumors and then she just went on YouTube to say that they're struggling,
no one would
care.
It
wouldn't be news, because also they went on Love and Marriage DC last year and, like, talked about some of their marriage struggles. So that wouldn't be news. Anyway, she admitted that her marriage with her husband, Chris Samuels, was, quote, struggling in some areas, but they are most definitely not getting a divorce. She said, it's no secret that Chris and I have been struggling in some areas of our marriage, and anybody who watched Love and Marriage DC last year, y'all saw the arguments, y'all saw everything that was going on. It was a lot of confusion. It was crazy building up to that 10-year marker of our marriage, and when you've been married that long and you have things that you're like, listen, this is being unmet or I've been unheard, you start to get frustrated and it's like, oh my God, is this what life is going to be like? I can't take it anymore. So what you guys saw in Love and Marriage was my cry for help. Anyways, they will be living apart right now, though not getting divorced, and they will be working through these issues.
I mean, it makes me really sad, first of all, that like their marriage is having trouble, because I looked up to their marriage. I thought they had an amazing marriage, and I really, really hope that they can work through this. But it also makes me sad that they're resorting to these types of tricks and staged moments, because Monique is better than this. And I feel like, honestly, she needs to come back to Housewives, for real.
I agree. I also think, like, if you can sit down and do, like, a YouTube video with your husband. 100%. Who you're, like, on the outs with, but you guys can, like, really talk about how your needs aren't being met. It's like, well, what if instead of talking to YouTube, you just talked about your needs? Like, they're communicating.
To a therapist.
Like, I just feel like it's a bit drastic, considering it seems, of course, not everything's as it seems, but, like, to sit down and be able to, like, talk publicly about the fact that you guys are going through a rough time right now and are on the brink of divorce. It's like, we can maybe come back from here.
Yeah, no, because couples, most couples, 99% of couples who are on the brink of divorce, like, cannot even look at each other, let alone sit down and record a YouTube video.
Right. If you need so much space from someone that they need to move out, like, how can you record?
You're not getting together to film. Right. So what I need from Monique is I need her and Chris to really work on their marriage, get to a better place so that they can return.
Yeah.
Because it's enough. Like, it was fun. She was disrespected. She had to stand her ground. But now Bravo needs to swallow their pride and crawl back to Monique.
I don't think she's going to go back.
I know, because you know what she is?
Screw Bolt.
Even though I believe that's the original. When Candace was talking about Have You No Scruples, she was talking about Candace. Actually, she might have been talking about Ashley for writing the statement.
She was in her house.
I don't know who Candace was referring to.
Yeah, she was talking like to Chris.
Chris.
But I don't know what it was about. I think it was about Monique.
Mm. Well, we've truly come full circle on that. I need her back, especially because I know it's early, so it's not fair to say, but like, these first two episodes of Potomac have been positively dreadful. Like, the way that Giselle is creating a storyline out of thin air with this Chris Bassett DM, like, we need more.
We're going to need more.
We're going to need more than that.
Yeah.
And I know the woman to do it. I think they thought it was going to be Charisse, but I think it's going to be Monique. I hate Charisse.
I would love for it to be Monique.
I would love
also,
for it to be Monique.
Also, now that Charisse is back, Monique probably won't join.
Right. Yeah. But like, these antics with the YouTube and like the boy who cried divorce, like, she's better than this. Come on. So those were the Fast Five stories. You definitely did not need to know any of them.
Really?
Maybe the first one.
And you didn't need to know Jason and Olivia.
No, you didn't need to know the big nothing burger that was Monique.
Meghan Markle.
Also, she said a whole bunch of nothing.
Yeah, but she talked about her time.
Right. Maybe. Okay, so maybe like 2.5 of the stories you needed to know.
Yeah. The James Corden thing is just like, I'm just still trying to process it, because just something about it just like doesn't feel like justice to like put someone on. I don't know. But like, of course, what he did is.
It does. By the way, if your crime is going to be like being an asshole, I think being put on blast is the perfect punishment, honestly. It's not illegal to be an asshole, but it's just not the right thing to do.
Of course. I don't know. It's just like, it didn't feel like justice.
I also felt like the way it ended felt weird.
Yeah, because like, he apologized to the restaurateur. He didn't apologize publicly.
To MK and
right,
G.
Right, or to the staff that we know of. So I don't know. It's just like a weird story.
It was definitely a weird ending. Like, never mind. He apologized. He can come back.
And I want to host Late Show.
Yeah, no. The guy is weird. But I respect the hustle. Because if I ever, like, you know, if James Corden ever owed me anything, I too would ask in return to do his job.
Yeah. Also, now people probably go to Balthazar, like, knowing you're going to be put on blast. So, like, I'm going to.
Also, you're going to see celebrities.
I'm going to be an angel now.
Yeah, no, it definitely adds to, like, the legacy of Balthazar, which already has, like, a rich history of being a celeb spotting.
Where is it?
I think it's technically in Greenwich Village. It's, like, I think it's by Lafayette, I think. Don't quote me on that. I've been once, and I took a cab, and I don't remember, like, what
the
street it was, you know?
I don't know if I've ever been.
Maybe, no, sorry. I think it's in Soho.
Okay.
It's a stunning facility, by the way. When you come to town, we should go. It's, like, next time we have a GNO and we don't know where to go, that's where we should go.
But we better act
right.
Remind
me. Oh, I will, Keith McNally. I will. So those were the stories. That was our show. Nice and quick show. Oh, no. It's already an hour and 10 minutes. Okay. Tomorrow we are back with Dear Toasters. Do we have any TV that's on tonight?
Definitely. Though yeah. I couldn't tell you what.
No, I couldn't tell you either. But we'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, the Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an incredible Tuesday, and we'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Bye. Goodbye.